For tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Friday evening, May 22nd, 1981. Memorial Weekend Deliverance Seminar with George Leroy of Toronto, Canada.
Lord Jesus, and as we breathe in the presence of your Holy Spirit, and as He ministers to us, Jesus Christ, we pray, Father, that the love of God will be shed abroad in our hearts through your presence. That, Father, we would love each other. First, we would love you in a vertical way. And as your Spirit pours through us and through the kingdom within us, that horizontally the love of Jesus Christ would flow from us to the members of your body, that, Father, we would feel the emanating power of God. We would feel the love of God as it would flow from us to one another. We pray tonight, Lord Jesus, that you'll bring your body together to the binding of the love of Jesus Christ. That, Lord, as the love of God is poured out upon the members of your body, that there would be healing take place, that, Father, roots of bitterness would be dissipated, and that, my God, resentments and unforgivenesses, and, Lord, all the heartache and the hurt and the sadness and the sorrow, Father, would be dissipated through the love of Jesus Christ. We thank you tonight for your Spirit. We thank you tonight for the love of God. We thank you tonight, Father, that we can love one another, not with a natural love, but with the divine love shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Ghost. And so we pray tonight as we welcome your holy presence. Have your way in every heart and every life. Have your way, Father, in this fellowship. Have your way, Father, in this campground. Have your way not only in this meeting, but in the conventions and the days and the weeks and the months that are to follow. We pray, Lord Jesus, that there be such love pour out of this place that it will reach the surrounding areas of Hot Springs. And so tonight we take authority over any spirit of poverty that would come against this place. We take authority over every principality and every power that would try to hinder the ministry of this place. We come against Satan and we bind the principalities and powers, and we loose tonight the anointing of God and the protection of God upon this campground. We pray for the strength of God to be poured into the hearts and lives of these who share ministry together in this place. We pray for the wisdom and the knowledge of God to be poured upon Glenn and Irma, and that, my God, they in turn will feed the multitudes that would come to this place for help. We pray, Lord Jesus, that your Spirit would flow out upon them, the surrounding countryside, and in Arkansas they would feel, oh God, the anointing and the deliverance and the power of God as it flows out of this place for the glory of your name. And so we commit, Father, this Lake Hamilton Bible Camp to the throne of grace, and pray your mighty blessing to rest upon it. And Lord, those that come, may they come in and receive that for which they've come for. May they walk out changed and renovated by the power and the anointing of God. And so tonight we commit the people of God to the throne of grace. And we pray tonight, Father, that the compassion and the love of Jesus Christ would pour into the body and the living members of your body until, my God, we cleanse one another, until we help one another, until, Father, we uplift one another. And, Lord, when we see a weak brother stumble, may we go to him in love and reach down with the grace and the love and the anointing and the authority and the power of Jesus Christ and resurrect him in the name of Jesus and set him on the path of righteousness. And so we pray tonight, Father, dig into our hearts and take out those things that are not of you and bring to us the love and the compassion of Jesus Christ. For we believe, Father, that thou art moving in a way that you've never moved before, and you're healing your body from the bruises that Satan has placed upon it, from the hurts and the wounds that he has tried to decimate the anointing of God. but you're pouring in your anointing and your power and your authority, and you're bringing together the dry bones in Ezekiel's boneyard. You're putting sinew and flesh upon them, Father, and they're standing up, and one day there'll be a militant man full of the anointing and the power and the authority of Jesus Christ, who will take this world for the glory of God, and we will have righteousness that will rule the earth. For God, you are raising up overcomers and sons of God, deliverers, to bring forth, Father, the glory and the manifestation of Jesus Christ. So have your way, we pray tonight, in this meeting, for the glory of your name, and we'll give you the honor and the glory, for we ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior and Master, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Turn around and love somebody. Just turn. I don't want, don't get confused. The ladies hug the ladies and the men with the men. Would you do that? I want tonight to talk about our walk, being a peacemaker, and to premise my remarks and to share with you what God is sharing with me. I want you to turn to John 13, the Gospel of St. John. And we'll use this and go from there into what I believe God is doing today in this hour, what He's doing in His body, what He's doing in your life and my life. In John, the 13th chapter, we begin to read at verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, now I want you to notice this verse, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Now that strange verse, that to me was a strange saying for Jesus to say this to Peter, who was a man, even though he was a fisherman, he certainly had enough intelligence to know what Jesus Christ was doing. And yet here in 7th verse, Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, thee that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, we read this scripture, but be emulous, or earnest, or zealous of better gifts, and yet I show a more surpassing way to you, or yet a more surpassing way to you I show. And then we read in the 13th chapter about the gospel of love, or the chapter of love. As I studied this, and as I thought about it, we realize that people have taken natural interpretation, and I believe there are times of natural interpretation, first the natural and the spiritual. That God has brought us, the body of Christ, into an era or into a time when truth is coming forth in revelation, and you and I are learning things that we had not known previous. We have seen churches split on the washing of feet. We have seen the body of Jesus Christ divided. But I do not believe that's what the Lord Jesus was talking about there. I believe he was giving them a natural example of a spiritual truth. And that's when he said to Peter, Peter, you'll not understand what I'm doing now. But the day will come when you will understand, and I believe that we are in that day. And I believe that we are learning and understanding what God was trying to do through Jesus Christ in that moment. But the reason I bring you into 1 Corinthians 12, and the reason I use the word love, is because for you and I to do what Jesus Christ did to His disciples in a spiritual way, we must have the love and the compassion of Jesus Christ. And so we read in Romans 12:9, and I'll just read it for you, "Let love be unfeigned," just the first part of it. And what it means is, let your love be without hypocrisy. Let your love be sincere. Don't pretend to love somebody if you really don't love them. How many times have you and I gone into fellowships and into churches and they've gone through the ritual where they say, "I love you," and put their arms around you and say, "I love you," but they really don't love you. You know it. You sense it. People who have things of bitterness and animosity and resentments in their heart and life, they will come to somebody when it comes to the breaking of bread or whatever, and they'll come and say, "I love you," and hug somebody, but in their heart, there's hypocrisy. They really do not love. This pretense has followed the church of Jesus Christ for many, many years. And God is telling us in Romans 12:9, He wants your love to be without hypocrisy, not to pretend, not to present to others in words or actions a false or hypocritical appearance, and usually trying to conceal what is the real feeling underneath. And that's why I say, if you and I are going to take what Jesus Christ has laid down in John for us, then we must do it in the form of love, or in love and compassion, without any pretense or any hypocrisy involved. In Matthew 5:1, Jesus Christ says these words. And if you want to turn with me to Matthew 5, I call it the polity or the political structure or the government of God in the Beatitudes. The gospel of the kingdom has a political structure or a polity. And I believe that the Beatitudes are these. But in Matthew 5:1, Jesus goes on and says, "But seeing the crowds, He went up." He went up higher into the Spirit, into the mountain, and having sat down, it says here, came to Him His disciples. Now I have learned in Christian living, as you have learned, that for you or me to get revelation, or to get the truth that God is giving to us, we must move up in the Spirit to where Jesus Christ is in the Spirit, and allow Him to begin to pour truth by the Holy Ghost into our hearts and minds. We cannot learn truth or receive revelation on a natural level. As I mentioned the other day or this morning, we can plagiarize it from somebody's books. We can plagiarize it from a lot of things. But God expects you and me to take the anointing that He has within us. And as He begins to teach us through the Spirit, then we find that there are others who have the truth. And it's a confirmation to what God has already shown us. And when God met me 6 years ago, I had read nothing on deliverance. I'd started to read Don Bashans and didn't get only maybe a page or two. I did not know how to go into deliverance. I knew nothing about sonship. I knew nothing about the truths of sonship or the kingdom of God. And God for 6 months confined me to the Scriptures, would not allow me to read anything but the Word of God, and allowed the Spirit of God to disentangle my mind from the doctrines of devils and the seducing spirits and the traditions of men that had bound me up, and began to release me and pour truth into my heart. But I had to move up in the Spirit. Here we find in Matthew 5 that Jesus Christ moves up now in the Spirit, and I'm talking spiritually, and His disciples come up with Him. What do they learn? It says, "And having opened His mouth, He begins to teach them." Now this is what He says in Matthew 5:9. "Blessed the peacemakers, for they sons of God shall be called." Now when God showed me this, immediately my mind went to the natural peacemaking. Two people are arguing or fighting, and so you step in and you become a peacemaker. I do not believe that's the only interpretation. I believe here, when He says in Matthew 5:9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they sons of God shall be called," that what they are going to do or what they are supposed to do is to make peace by cleansing or washing one another's feet or walk. Now let it sink in for a minute. Let it sink in. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they, the sons of God, shall be called." Now, when Jesus Christ came and washed the disciples' feet, We know in the Word of God that feet are representative of our walk. So what he was doing when he said to Peter, Peter, you won't understand what I'm doing now. I'm only doing something in the natural. But the day will come, Peter, when you will understand that you, as my disciples and apostles, will begin to move out in ministry and begin to wash one another's walk. You will begin to wash one another's feet. You'll begin to wash one another's walk. You will begin to become peacemakers in the body of Jesus Christ. Romans 14:7. If you'll turn to Romans 14:7, we read the scripture. For naught is the kingdom or the authority or the rule of God eating and drinking, but the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, if you do not have righteousness, you do not have peace. How many believe that? When you have unrighteousness, you will have all kinds of turmoil, anxiety, confusion working within you. So Romans 14:17 says, for not is the kingdom of God eating and drinking, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now what's he talking about? What kind of peace? I had righteousness imputed to my account, and I had peace with God. But I believe in Matthew 5:2, he is not talking about the peace with God, but he is talking about the peace of God. And the peace of God can only come to your life and my life as we begin to have a cleansing done on the inside, what we call deliverance or casting out of spirit. And this is done not by a one-man ministry, but it's done by the body of Jesus Christ, but it's done in love. It's done in love. And this is what he's talking about in Galatians 5:22. Look at the scripture. We read it this morning. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith. For an example, we had in our fellowship a few months ago, a man come. We have one of our ladies who has a ministry in jails, ministering in the jail ministry, talking to prisoners and convicts and showing forth the love of Jesus Christ. And this beautiful lady, she has gone through deliverance, and when she heard about deliverance, she started to receive deliverance, then of course, when she went to the jails to visit the prisoners and the convicts, she began to share with them deliverance. And one convict was there, a father, and I guess this father would be in his early 50s. And as he was there and was finishing up his term, he came, she brought him one Sunday, he had a pass to come out, and she brought him to our fellowship for deliverance. He was a big man, tremendous size, well-developed. And as he sat and told us the story, it was enough to break your heart. He had a farm up north, a few hundred miles from where he was in jail, and he was a farmer, and he had two grown daughters. And as these daughters began to develop, one of the daughters came and talked to her mother about the birds and the bees, and the mother kind of said, go see your father. And so this young lady went down to the barn, and she began to talk to her father, wanting to understand about the sex and all of these areas. And he said, as she began to talk to me, and I knew that her mother wouldn't deal with her, he said, suddenly, I thought I'll show her. And he said, this man was a Christian. The Spirit took over, and he began to commit incest with his older daughter and his younger daughter. This went on for a series of months, and one day, one of the younger daughters was going on a trip with some Christian girls and boys on the bus, and this bus broke down, and they never arrived, and so as they were waiting for someone to pick them up or repair the bus, they began to share. And the teacher that was with them said, why don't you just begin to share some of the problems you have? And this girl could contain no longer the things that were happening in her life. And so she blurted out in that bus in front of all those students what her father had been doing to her for these matter of months. Well, the teacher, of course, reported it to the authorities. The authorities, because this man, even though he was a Christian, he had had a reputation of having a very bad, violent temper. And this man, they were afraid to go and knock on the door and put him under arrest, so they got the mother out on pretext, and the two daughters, they got them out of the house, and then the provincial police met in with guns because they did not know what this man was going to do. He was a hunter. He had many rifles in the house. But he walked in and they took him without any problem. And when he went to court, he was given so much time and also 3 years probation. But as this man began to unfold the life story and the problems he had had, I could have sat there and become nauseated, or I could have felt in my heart there's no hope for this man. But I knew that this man could not help what he had done. I knew the devil under the old Adam had programmed him with this spirit, a provocative spirit, the spirit of lust, the spirit of molestation and incest had come into him. And I began to pray with him, with someone else in the office, we began to pray with him. And God began to set this man free. And as God set him free, he began to break and melt and repent. And when it was all over, that man walked out a delivered and free man. And he's back with his wife. His wife came down to visit with him. She came in for deliverance. And God wonderfully set her free. And as you begin to hear these things, you begin to realize what Jesus Christ sees and feels and what he died for and what he wants to do for us as the people of God. And when you and I get deliverance, then we should feel the same thing that Jesus feels and begin to help one another, not to put somebody down, but to help one another and encourage them to get rid of those things that are troubling them. When I was overseas, I'd stay with a certain family. And I looked at this family. They were millionaires. They had a beautiful home. And they looked on the surface that everything was fine. But as God began to deliver certain friends of theirs, and they saw deliverance wrought out in the lives of those that were coming to their home on appointment, they said to me one morning, "We must have deliverance." And as I sat with the lady of that home, and this lady was very intellectual, spoke five languages, was Eurasian, a beautiful woman, she began to pour out her life history. And before it was finished, I was weeping with her. Why? It was not self-pity. It was not sorrow. But it was a compassion that Jesus Christ can give to you and give to me to reach the people of God and see God take care of the broken hearts and the sorrow and the sadness that is in his body. And if we feel it as members of the body of Jesus Christ, what does Jesus Christ feel as the head of his body? When he feels the hurts and the sorrow and the sadness and the depression, I believe that God is bringing us into a new day where you and I can wash one another's walk through the love of Jesus Christ and feel for those we pray for. And when we have finished praying for one another, we forget what's happened. It's gone. My mind, God washes my mind. I've prayed for so many people with so many problems, and yet God washes my mind of the things that I hear. And when I see them, I remember nothing many times, and I have no problem to love them and to encourage them in the things of God. For Jesus said to the one that was caught in adultery, he said to those that brought her, "He that's without sin, let him cast the first stone." But for so many years, the Church of Jesus Christ has taken and buried their problems. They've placed them under the rug. They've come into the churches and into our fellowships, and they sit there, and you look at the people of God, and you say, "Oh my God, how spiritual they are, and how free they are." But you and I know different. And as we've come for deliverance here in Hot Springs, and as we've seen God deliver many people, we begin to realize that the body of the Lord Jesus has been broken and decimated by the power of the enemy. And now Jesus Christ, who set the example to Peter, he says, "One day you'll know what's going to happen. One day you'll understand." And we are coming into an understanding of spiritual warfare and what the devil is doing and how we can counteract with the love and the compassion of Jesus Christ through the cleansing of deliverance ministry. Look at Romans 10:15 with me. He says, "And how shall they preach?" Now this is important. "How shall they preach unless they be sent? According as it has been written, how beautiful the feet or the walk of those announcing the glad tidings of peace." Now let that ring, let that come to you spiritually. He says, "And how shall they preach unless they be sent?" Now you and I, as God has brought us into revelation of sonship, brought us into revelation of deliverance, he is sending us now as deliverers back to wherever we've come from, to whatever fellowships we come from. When we go through deliverance here, God expects us to go back to where we come from and begin to encourage and to wash someone else's walk. And so he says, how shall they preach unless they be sent? According as it has been written, how beautiful the feet. Now, he's not talking about your feet. These man, I'm glad mine are covered up. Come on. If your feet are so beautiful, why do you paint them red? You want to enhance their beauty, you know? Come on. There's nothing beautiful about feet. But he's not talking about that. He is saying, how beautiful is your walk of those when you go back and you begin to announce the glad tidings of peace. What peace? The peacemaker, the peace of God. Of those announcing the glad tidings of good things. When you go back to your fellowship, after you've had deliverance here, you can go back and say, listen, do you know what's happened to me? God has set me free. When God opened circumcision of the heart to me a few years ago, it came in revelation. I'd never read it, never heard it. And when God placed the anointing on my mind and I understood what circumcision was about, I said to myself, this is the answer. This is the answer for the anger and the bitternesses and the resentments and the lust and the discouragements and the depression and the self-pity and the insanity and these things. And I began to, in fact, I had a friend who is the editor or associate editor of Christianity Today. And I had preached with him in a Washington, D.C. Full Gospel Businessmen's Convention. And this man, Ed Plowman, I phoned him. And I said to him, Ed, I said, what would you think? And I began to share some of the truth that God had given me. If God could take care of all your problems, he said, I think that would be tremendous. And I began to share some of the things that God had shared with me. And brother, when you begin to announce that this gospel of Jesus Christ has power in it, and that it not only brings forgiveness with God and forgiveness of sins, but it brings the remission of sins and the peace of God, this is the announcing of good things. And so we read in Romans 16:20, but the God of peace will bruise Satan under your feet or under your walk shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Now what's he saying? He's telling us that the God of peace will crush completely or shatter through our union with God. He will completely decimate all that Satan has placed in your life. Now stop and think with me, some of the problems you've had. I have prayed, and maybe I've shared this with you, I prayed for a young man. He came in, he was a biker, what we call a motorcycle gang member. And this man was what we call an enforcer. He was into martial arts, and he would enforce the vice and all the drug part of this one motorcycle gang that he belonged to. And I said to this man, why is it? How did you get into be a motorcycle gang? Now, you've seen motorcycle guys. I've seen them with their black leathers and their crests and how they ride up with their beards and their dirty-looking bodies and the chains and all of this. And they come in and they're such macho guys and they'll come in and take gas or they'll eat in a restaurant and walk out without paying the bill, rattling their strength and their sabers and their knives like they're really something. And the first impression is, my, who do they think they are? Who do they think they are? But brother, let me say something to you. You and I haven't come from where they come from. Now let me share with you. When this man came for me for deliverance, he had now met the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been baptized in the Holy Ghost, but he was still having problems. And so I said to him, Don, why are you like you are? What put you into this situation? He said to me, I was raised away up north. He said, I was the only son, and my father had two daughters and was an alcoholic. And he said, as my sisters began to grow, he said, I would lay there in my bed and hear my father rape my two sisters. And after he'd finished raping my two sisters, he would come in to me and pull my pajamas down and say, you're no good to me, and begin to beat me until my blood was all over the floor. And he said he did this continuously until I hated him and rebellion and bitterness came and I knew that I had to protect myself and the only way I could do it was get into martial arts. I never came from that kind of background. I never came out of that kind of a home. And so I understood immediately why this boy had gone into perversion and gone into violence. Because the enemy, through all of his background, had penetrated his flesh and come into his life until this boy hated the world and hated everyone in it. He brought someone else with him, another biker, after he'd received deliverance. And this young fellow was red hair, and he'd come in, and he'd been saved a couple of years and still having problems. And when he walked in, I said, "What's your problem?" "Well," he said, "I guess we'd better start with hate." And I said, "Why do you hate? Why do you hate?" He said, "Because," he said, "my mother was a whore." And he said, "Every time that I would go in the house, she would look at me and say, 'You're just something dirty that came out of my womb,' and she would slap me around until I left home." I never came out of that kind of environment. And so he said, "Because of that, they put me into foster homes and orphanages, and the rebellion and the hate would come, and I would leave, and they'd take and bring me back to the orphanages, and because I had been disobedient and disobeyed, they'd put me on the floor, and they'd have other boys sit on me, and they'd pinch me and shave my hair off." But he said, "I was too small to fight back, but," he said, "I could hate." And I laid hands on that young man, and when I laid hands on him, that spirit of hate began to move into him, and he picked up the two men that were beside him, one on each side, and the hate that came through that boy, he just took those two heavy men and ran with them to the altar, and they had to put on arm grips to force him to the floor. He hated so much. That spirit was so moving in him. And when that thing left and went back inside, he said, "My God, I don't want any of this. I'm getting out of here." He said, "I can't stand that. I don't want any part of that. That scares me. I'm getting out." So we convinced him to stay. And once again we laid hands on him, and this time when we laid hands on him, the power of God came upon him and paralyzed him. And there the hate, that spirit of hate, began to work in this young man. And he was struggling to get out and do what he wanted to do in this hateful thing. And suddenly that spirit of hate came out of him and he relaxed. Then he picked himself up. And as he walked out of the church, he looked at me and said, "Man, was that heavy. Man, was that heavy." And he walked out delivered by the power of God. Brother, blessed are the peacemakers, for they, the sons of God, are called. And as you and I move into the ministry of deliverance, as we move into this ministry and begin to come to one another and begin to wash one another's walk and begin to share the compassion of Jesus Christ with people, they'll begin to open up. I've met people only for 3 or 4 minutes, and all of a sudden the individual sitting across from me will begin to pour out their heart, and they'll look at me and say, "I promised that I would never say those things." But they share them. Why? What are they feeling? They are feeling the compassion of Jesus Christ, knowing that God has a love for the people of God, and that His body is hurting, and He wants to heal His body through the blood and the power of the Holy Ghost. And it can only come, beloved, as you and I have the love of Jesus Christ, and we come to one another and say, "Let us share those things together, and let God do the work of grace in our hearts and in their hearts." In Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, we read this scriptures. "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, 'Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life.'" Now we know what dust He's talking about. Man is made out of dust, and God breathed into him a living soul. And Satan has been eating the dust of man's life for years upon years. And you can see the damage that the serpent has done in man, because he feeds upon man and he builds into man the kingdom of mystery of iniquity, and he has himself a field day. But we read the scripture previous that God says, "The God of peace will bruise Satan under your walk shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." In Genesis 3:15, we go on and read, "And I will put enmity," or hostility, or hatred, "between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it." And this word "it" suggests coupling or joining with Jesus Christ. "It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Now what's happening? We are finding now that God has placed hostility between the church, that living organism, and between Satan, who also has a living organism. Did you know that? Satan has a many-membered corporate body. Jesus Christ has a many-membered corporate body. We are either in one body or the other. And we are seeing the man of sin, because there are only two men in the world, the first Adam and the last Adam. But under the headship of these men, we find living members. And so there is a hostility, there is a hatred between these organisms. The woman's seed, Christ and his sons, the word "it" suggests the coupling here, the woman's seed shall bruise Satan's head. his headship, his authority. He'll snap at it. He'll try to overwhelm. But God will break Satan down through the authority that comes through Jesus Christ. Now, in Revelation 12, and I want you to turn with me, we read the scripture here. And a great sign was seen in the heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And being with child, she cries, being in travail and being in pain to bring forth. And if I've ever seen a woman, the church is in that place. The church is travailing to bring forth the sons of God. And out of her womb, out of the church's womb, are coming sons that are being developed, because these sons are becoming overcomers who will help to nurture this woman in time of need. And we see, and we're seeing another sign in the heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his heads 7 diadems. And his tail drags the third of the stars of the heaven, and he casts them to the earth. And the dragon stands before the woman who is about to bring forth, that when she should bring forth her child, he might devour. Now we know that there's the illustration about Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is building a Christ. We are his Christ. We are his anointed ones. And so we see here that she brings forth a male son who is about to shepherd all the nations with an iron rod. Now, who is going to have governmental authority? Jesus Christ with his sons. Hear me. Jesus Christ is going to govern with his sons. Do you believe that? We read that in 1 Corinthians. So she's bringing forth a male son who is about to shepherd all the nations with an iron rod, and was caught away her child to God and to his throne, or were caught up into the authority of the throne room of God. And the woman, the church, she flees into the wilderness. Now we talked about this. Glenn says he's preparing. I know other places around the world that are preparing for the end time. Not everybody has that calling, because not everybody can do that. But here I live in the city of Toronto, live in an apartment building. That whole apartment building is run by power, electrical power, and so on. When the time comes and everything is cut off, there'll be no heat, there'll be no light, there'll be a lot of things. When they have this beast, this computer thing in Brussels that is already working, they'll have everything tied into that beast in Brussels, and it's coming to pass. There'll be a checkless society, brother, a cashless society where everything is done by checks. They'll feed it in and tell you what your balance is. Things are happening fast. What's happening is that this thing is coming upon the earth. You and I will wake up one morning and it'll be upon us, because it's going to come like a snare. It's a snare. All right? So look what it says. The woman flees into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God. Now, where is the wilderness? We have heard about some place where they have these caves and they put Bibles in that, in those caves for these people that flee into the wilderness. Brother, the wilderness is right here. It's right here. Egypt's right here. The wilderness is right here. I fight spiritual principalities and powers in Canaan, but I'm right here. And so we find out that this woman, I believe, is the church. When she flees into the wilderness, she's going to have a place prepared of God, that they, plurality, they should nourish her 1,260 days. Who's going to nourish her? The peacemakers, the overcomers, those who have learned to do cleansing and deliverance through the power of Jesus Christ. It says there was war in the heaven. Michael and his angels warred against the dragon, and the dragon warred and his angels, and they prevailed not, nor was their place found any more in the heaven. And was cast out the great dragon, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and the Satan, who misleads the whole habitable world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast with him. And I heard a great voice saying in the heaven, now is come the salvation and the power and the authority and rule of our God and the authority of his Christ. Because it's cast down the accuser of our brethren, who accuses them before our God day and night. And it says, and they overcame him by reason of the blood of the Lamb and by reason of the word of their testimony, and loved not their life unto death. Now I believe this, that I do not love my life unto death. And what I think it's talking about is this life of the soulish area. I am dying every day. I die daily. You're dying daily. When God begins to circumcise you by the Spirit, when you begin to open up the intimacies of your heart, the treasures of your heart, and you say to your brothers or sisters, listen, I have this problem, I need cleansing. Then the peacemaker comes with the authority of Jesus Christ and lays hands on you, and they begin to wash you with the authority of Jesus Christ. You're beginning to wash one another's walk. And he says here, because of this, rejoice, you heavens, and ye who in them tabernacle. And that's what I'm doing. I am tabernacling by faith in the heavenlies. Hear me. Woe to those who inhabit the earth. Those who are spiritual are tabernacling in heavenly places. Those who are carnal and fleshly and sensual, they are inhabiting the earth. And they are living on that plane. And then he says, and the sea, because seas talk about nations. Because has come down the devil to you, having great fury, knowing that a short time he has. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman, the church, which brought forth the male child. Now, I want you to turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. And look at this with me. Chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, the first verse, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him. Are we gathered together tonight? Are we gathered together unto Him tonight? Yes, we are. So he says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letters from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. He said, don't be troubled. He said, I've never sent any letter out. You have no reason to fear. The day of Christ has not come yet. He said, I don't want you to think it has, and I'm telling you tonight it has not come yet. He says in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. Then he says, for that day, what day? The day of Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ. For that day shall not come, except there come a what? A falling away first. That word falling in the Greek means defection from truth. Now you have to be there to fall away from it. Now hear me. What I am bringing out tonight is that unless we are cleansed and delivered, unless we submit our lives to one another, unless we wash one another's walk, there will be areas within our lives that will begin to activate when that which we read in Revelation, when Satan is cast to the earth, he says, woe to the inhabitants who dwell on the earth. But if you've been cleansed by the power of God and the blood of Jesus Christ, and you are tabernacling in the heavenlies, then when this thing comes upon us, there'll be nothing inside for the enemy to get control of. Now hear me. When you were living under the government of the enemy, he had a field day with your life. Every sin that you committed, he penetrated your mortal body and placed into you a mystery or a kingdom of darkness. And those things are resonant within your life. You say, how do you know? Because God, through His mercy, showed me through Revelation. And I have seen it happen in Indonesia. When I went to Indonesia and I prayed for these people and I began to share with them the charts that I'll share with you when we get around to it in the Holy Ghost. When I began to share these things with the people of the Philippines and the people in Indonesia, they didn't question it. They didn't say, my theology doesn't say that. My pastor, he doesn't teach this. They began to think, my God, I was offered to Satan when I was a baby. Even though I'm a Christian now, I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost, I was inoculated in witchcraft. I drank potions of witchcraft. I was under this curse and that curse. And they began to receive the truth, and I saw God take people 60 years of age, 70 years of age in Indonesia, in Surabaya, in Jakarta, and lay hands upon these people, and suddenly out of their life, they would throw these spirits of hell, and they would see these things come out in phlegm and blood, and it would be pouring out of their lives, and they knew that this mystery of iniquity was lying dormant within their lives. There were three pop singers in Indonesia. They are the top pop singers of Indonesia. I think they had 20 hit records. Then they were saved and came to Jesus Christ. They were friends of my interpreter that I had, and so he had called them and said, why don't you come to visit with us or come and see us, because this deliverance ministry is something different. And so the one pop singer, one of the lead singers, he came by appointment to the home where I was staying. This boy had been involved not only in lust areas, but into meditation. And so we laid hands on this young man, and the moment we laid hands on him for meditation, immediately that spirit activated and he went like this. And that's exactly how he sat until that spirit of meditation came out of him. He was set free from all the perversion and all the lust that was in him. Now he said, my biggest problem as I've come to Jesus Christ has been my mind with all the lust and the pornography that I was involved in when I was a pop singer. And he said, even now when I sing in churches, and he said, this thing begins to activate. Because he needed deliverance and cleansing. He needed to have his walk washed. Jesus Christ had forgiven him for his sins. But there's more to it. Jesus Christ wants to remit our sins. He not only wants to forgive us for them, but he wants the sprinkling of his blood to come into our on the inside and cleanse us from these things that are hindering our walk in Jesus Christ. And there were others that came. This one man came. He was the other pop singer. He came and brought a friend of his. And this fellow was a merchant navy man. And he was built like Samson. He was a big fellow, and he came in, and he looked very mild, and he was a Christian, and had been given his life to Jesus Christ about 6 months before, and he said, I've had a lot of trouble in fighting. He said, when I was a sailor in this merchant marine in Navy, he said, all I ever did was fight. And he said, I fight, and I have a bad, violent temper, and I said, well, that's terrific. We'll lay hands on you. Before we do, we want you that when that thing begins to activate, you just keep it cool. We don't want you to do anything. Because he was big, and I didn't want to have a new door or a new window put into the house that I was staying with my body being the opener, you see. And so I figured, well, we'll just warn this fellow, keep it cool. He said, no problem. So we prayed for the pop singer, and God delivered him from the areas, and we laid hands on this big fellow, and he sat there, and we laid hands and bound that spirit of anger and violence and hate, and we said, you feel anything? He said, no. So we prayed again for the pop singer, for other areas, and then we laid hands again. All of a sudden, this fellow, oh my, he starts to swing with these great big arms of his, and God pinned him down, just held him there. There that man was paralyzed and trying to break forth with this spirit of violence and anger. And when it came out of him, when he threw it up, we said, man, what happened to you? He said, nothing. We said, don't you know what you just did? He said, no, what did I do? That's how bad that spirit was on the inside. Now you say, why are you saying this? Because if you have within you a spirit of lust, and you don't get that spirit of lust out through deliverance, when this thing hits this world, brother, Satan is going to come and he's going to turn on the powerful blast on that kingdom on the inside. And that lust spirit that you try to control now will take over, and when it takes over, it'll take over your mind, and you'll find yourself not being able to control yourself. I took a church, and maybe I've shared this with you, and I inherited a quartet at that time. They're not there now. And they couldn't sing. They couldn't even carry a tune in a bucket, but they thought they could and had all kinds of equipment. But I began to share deliverance, and I had Friday night meetings. This one lead singer, he said to me, I want to see you in the office. And I took him in the office. He said, I want you to pray for me for deliverance. And I said, what do you want me to pray for you for? He said, I want you to pray for me for a spirit of rape. I said, a spirit of what? He said, a spirit of rape. I'm going to court in 3 months. He said, I'm up on a charge of rape. He was a Christian, baptized in the Spirit. And I said to him, my God, man, what are you doing? He said, I've been prayed for countless, numerous times. He said, I go for so long, but then all of a sudden this thing on the inside builds up and I can't control it. I laid hands on that young man, and when I laid hands on him, the power of God delivered him, and he threw up a mess on the floor that I could not even clean up myself. I had to call one of the elders, and I said, brother, I can't even stand the sight of that. Will you please take care of it? I couldn't even look at it. Now, if that young man had not received the deliverance that Jesus Christ had for him in the full gospel that we believe, power in this gospel, and the peacemakers had come with the walk and told him the good tidings of deliverance, when Satan would cast to the earth, and this day is coming, Satan would have turned on the power in that kingdom in there, brother, and that spirit of rape would have taken over, and he would have had a field day with that young life. I'm talking not about the unsaved. I'm talking about the people of God. Now hear me. You know and I know the horrors of the Second World War. You and I hear the horrors of the Vietnam War and Korea. What happens when these men, some of them Christian men, some of them families, some of them with families, who get over into a situation, and because the devil has everything set up and the situation is ripe, suddenly they do things they would never have thought of doing. Because Satan takes and turns on the power in that life, and before you know it, beloved, that thing is activated and they've committed more sin because Satan has had a field day. I had an agriculture inspector come from Detroit. He came over to our fellowship and he said, I've got to have deliverance for certain areas, and we brought him in. And this man in university had taken up mind. Everything was mind. There was no such thing as matter. He had studied this thing. And it was this cult and this philosophy was resident within him. But I did not know that. And we were laying hands on him for doctrines of devils and seducing spirits and philosophies and cults. We laid hands on him. And all of a sudden, when he started to talk, he said to me, and he kept saying a certain sentence. And I listened to him. And then I would talk to him a little more, ask him a question, and all of a sudden he'd say the sentence again. And I thought, man, there's something wrong here. And I'd talk to him again, and he'd say this sentence again. He's sitting there, an intellectual man, a graduate of university. So I said to him, and I was getting to feel a little nervous, and I said to this man, why are you here? And he looked at me and he said, I don't know why I'm here. In fact, he said, I don't even know who you are. And man, when he said that, the devil said to me, you have really blown this man's mind. You have him so confused that you've got him ready for a mental institution. And if you keep on, brother, they're going to put you in the institution and close your church down. And I'm trying to get this man to come back because I know he's not with it. And I start to talk to him. And I said, well, do you know who this fellow was? And this fellow brought, he'd come together. And he looked at him and he said, no, I don't even know who he is. And everything was negative. And I said, well, how did you get here? He said, I don't know how I got here. He said, where am I? And on this thing went, and more nervous I became. And then, brother, we laid hands on him again. But what had happened? That spirit had activated in him, had taken over his mind, and he went into a state of amnesia. We bound that spirit, and then we sent him back to the motel. He didn't know he was living in a motel. He didn't know how to get there. The fellow had to take him, put him to bed, and he said the next morning as he woke up, he found himself coming out of a fog, and God had delivered him through the night, and when he woke up in the morning, he came back to our fellowship and testified of what God had set him free from. Now, if God had not done the work, if he had not heard of deliverance, then, beloved, I can understand the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. Let's go back to it. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. This man of sin, this corporate body, this son of perdition, this son of ruin, it says, who will oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God will sit where? What temple do you think he's talking about? You see, the natural thing has already taken place. In Titus in 70 A.D., he went over to the temple in Jerusalem. He desecrated it. He sat there. He poured the blood of pigs and goats all over the sacred place of God's house. But now, the spiritual application is, he's building a temple. He's building something here, what we call the mystery of iniquity. And it's in people's lives. And treasure houses for Pharaoh. Treasure houses for Satan. And God's people walk around and they say, oh, everything's fine, all fly away, oh glory, and everything's going to happen and all this is going to happen. They've come and they've knelt down and they've confessed their sins, and Jesus Christ has forgiven their sins. He certainly has. But that's not all of it. That's the peace with God. But there's a peace of God that must come through circumcision by the Spirit in your heart, where Jesus Christ will impart to you the imputed righteousness and clean out the dark kingdom of Satan so that Jesus Christ and His kingdom can be built within you.
Hear me.
That's why you and I carry the traits of our ancestors, our grandfathers, our mother, our father, because as we're born, spirits are transferred from the mother into the fetus. And when that fetus comes, there are many people that have come through into this world with congenital defects, with spirits of inheritance. Some have insecurity. Some have rejection. We have a young girl in our church. When I began to pray one night for the spirit of death, one morning, one Sunday morning, I felt impressed to bind the spirit of death. And when I did, a little girl, 11 years of age, began to scream. And when she screamed out the spirit of death. I went to her mother after the service and said, I'm surprised that your daughter had the spirit of death. You know what she said to me? I'm not. I tried to abort her when I was carrying her. What had happened? It had not worked, but that spirit of death had come into that fetus, and that girl was born with the spirit of death in her life. I prayed for a young man, and he's still going through deliverance, who was so full of lust. He had lust areas, and yet he had never involved himself at all in any type of lust. But he was loaded. And he said, my God, it must come through inheritance. And it did. Because his father and his mother had committed lust acts, and his father had done so much of it, and things were so wrong, that when he was conceived in lust. And he was loaded. And he had things in his life that had had to come through inheritance. Brother, I don't know everything about deliverance. I am just learning. But I know this, that blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And when we began to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto deliverance. And so as we come to one another and come to a situation like this, we know that there are things in our lives that we maybe have never been involved with, but we know they are there because we've inherited them. Now, if we can inherit anger from our grandfather, or idiosyncrasies, we call them, from different parents, then it's possible to inherit cancer. I had it. God delivered me just a few months ago from a spirit of cancer. I told you about that. And the spirit of death. I say thank God for that deliverance because, brother, I did not know it was there. I had weaknesses in my body. I felt things in my body, and Satan would come to my mind and say, you have cancer like your father. But just like a lot of other Christians, I would throw it off and say, that's coming from the outside. But it was the devil on the inside. And when this woman in our church got that word of knowledge and God set me free, I know that that spirit of cancer left and that spirit of death left a week or so later. And I say thank God for the power that's in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank God that Jesus said to Peter, look, Peter, you won't understand what I'm doing now, but you'll understand when the day comes. Now, I want you to look at James and we'll close it. I can't go any farther. There's too much to share with you, but let's look at James chapter 5, and I'll show you how scriptural this is. In verse 13, chapter 5 of James, is any among you afflicted? This word afflicted means pressure, hardship. So he says here, if you're under hardship, if you're under pressure, what are you to do? You're to pray. You are to pray. That's your responsibility. Then he says, is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Look at verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him. Who? The sick. What is he to do? Well, he's to generate faith. No, he's not. Listen, he is to call for the elders of the church. I have been sick. And brother, sister, when I get sick and the devil hits me, I don't have any kind of faith to get my healing. I just say, God, get somebody here that can lay hands on me and pray and have faith to get me healed. Come on. You know what I'm talking about. But it's, see, the elders that have no faith, they come and lay hands on you. If they don't understand, they say, Lord, if it's your will, heal him. Man, they better not come at all. You call out of desperation. Your step of faith is calling for the elders of the church. And then when you call for them, let them pray, not you. Let them. Listen, if you're in a coma, and before you get into that coma, you can make the call and say, get the elders quick, I'm going. Pretty hard for you to generate faith. We know what's going on. When you're really sick and you're laying there with pain racking your body, brother, you ought to thank God that you can get the elders who have faith to come. It says, let them pray over him anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. That's their responsibility. Then he says, and the prayer of faith. Whose prayer of faith? The elder's prayer of faith. The prayer of faith shall what? Save the sick, and the Lord, not the elders, the Lord shall raise him up. And then he puts a little part in here, and if, just if, he doesn't say you have, but if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. But it's the 16th verse I want to show you. And this is what God has shown me, and this is what he said to Peter. Confess your faults, or your sins, or your trespasses, is what it means, one to another. Now, why haven't we done it? Because we're afraid if we do, and we go to our pastors, that the pastor will say, my, are you ever a bad boy? Poor Poopsie, you're a bad girl. You shouldn't have done that bad thing. And the pastor's done worse. Come on. That's why we can't get it into the churches. Because to get it to the people, we have to get to the shepherd. And because the shepherd has skeletons in his closet, he says, keep it out. Come on. So he says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Because now you've become a peacemaker. Because the moment you start praying for deliverance, you are bringing peace to that individual. All right? And so he's saying here, he says, pray one for another that you may be delivered. Now you'll find this out. When you get deliverance and you begin to wash each other's walk through deliverance ministry, you will find that when you pray for somebody through the laying on of hands for certain areas, that many times you will get deliverance as well. Think of that. Job's captivity was turned when he what? When he prayed for his friend. And brother, when you people, and I'm not saying for us to get fanatical and everybody running around demon chasing. I'm not saying that. I am saying that it's time we began to pray one for another, not in our closets, but publicly, where we can lay hands on one another. And when we pray for one another, God cleanses them, and through your praying for them, God cleanses you. And that's what Jesus said. He gave a natural illustration for a spiritual truth. He said, Peter, you won't understand what I'm doing now. But he says, you will at a later date. And so we begin to wash one another's walk, and it's the most scriptural thing that I know of. And when God brought me into it, the greatest thrill of my life is when you lay hands on somebody and they have been molested or have had incest committed and have carried that thing for years, and suddenly that spirit of incest comes out, or that spirit of feeling dirty comes out, or that spirit of frigidity leaves, and that person is set free through the power of God, brother. That is the greatest reward that you could ever have, to see the transformation that comes through the renovation of the Holy Ghost in a person's life. And God knows tonight there are people in this place that need deliverance from many things. Come on, let's believe God for it. Let's believe God for deliverance tonight. Let's begin to believe God and wash one another's walk and see the Lord Jesus set the people of God free. That's what this camp meeting's all about, is that God will move in our hearts and move in our lives and begin to do a work within us and free us from anger and from violence. But the biggest thing is getting rid of the pride. Getting rid of the pride, opening up our hearts and saying, yes, I need to be cleansed. I need to be set free. I'm tired of carrying these things around. I'm tired of battling. I'm tired of trying to overcome on the inside. I would rather overcome on the outside and be free on the inside. And so we have young people that get involved with rock music. We have young people that are involved with lust and masturbation. Man, it's a common thing. Not in the world, it's there. But it's in our churches. Incest, lust, fornication. We wonder why our young people, some of the young girls get pregnant in our youth groups. Why? Because we've got young people that have problems that need to be set free. But because we are so more holier than thou, we don't even want to say it. Oh my God, brother, don't mention masturbation. Don't you know my daughter or my son, you're going to blow them away? And they're possibly doing what we're talking about. And they look at you and say, my, you're stupid. Come on. Let's get down to where the devil is and boot him out, brother. Let's clean up our act. Let's clean up our act and bring the peace of God to one another as we wash one another's walk. Let's bow our hearts together. Father, we bow our hearts tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. We lift up your holy name. You are preparing and cleansing a body. You are making it holy, and you are imparting the righteousness that has been imputed to our account. You are bringing to us, Father, a liberty and a freedom, and making us unrestrained citizens of heaven, where we can live in this vile, depraved world above sin. And Father, waiting for the arrival of Jesus Christ to come through our lives. And because of this, we know this in our heart. And because of this hope, we read, Father, that we purify ourselves. And so tonight, you see the people of God that have come to this meeting. And Lord, you know their hearts. You know their depressions. You know the discouragements. You know the sorrows. You know the sadness. You know the broken hearts. You know the loneliness. You know the times of self-pity. You know the feelings that, Lord, they're going to commit suicide. Or maybe, Lord, the anger and the frustration. Maybe, Lord, the rebellion that comes. Father, you know all the doctrines that are false and all the bondages. You know, Lord Jesus, the domineering spirits of men and women. You know, Father, so many areas of our lives that Satan has placed in us. And yet you've come to bring us deliverance. You've come to set us free. You've come to produce in us the love of Jesus Christ. And you walked here for 33 years. And you showed forth the love and the light of God that became the life of men. And you said, you can have it if you believe what I'm telling you. You can have it if you believe that I've come from God. And that there's a new way to live. There's a freer way of living. There's a way that you can live that'll bring you into life. That will give you vitality, that I'll put my spirit into your mortal body and quicken it, and that you don't have to overcome from the inside. All you have to do is overcome from the outside. But you've got to believe that my blood is powerful. For I have come unto thee this night, and I will bring unto thee those things that thou hast asked for. But you must receive the truth of my spirit, for it is my blood that brings deliverance. It is the authority of my name that will set you free. I have called thee to this place, even though thou hast questioned my leading, even though thou hast said in the night hours, why, Lord, must I go to hot springs? I will speak to thee this night, and I will show you those things in your heart, those things that I would take out by the power of my spirit. I lovest thee, and thou must feel my love. Dost thou not know that I have cried out, it is finished, and I will bring thee into liberty and into freedom, but thou must believe what I am saying. Hear what my spirit is saying unto thy heart tonight, and as thou wouldst hear what my spirit will say, I will bring to thee deliverance that thou hast cried out for. My beloved, I have called thee to this place. I have brought thee to this place that you might walk from this place free in my spirit, that you will not again go back and be entangled by the yoke of bondage, but trust me as I present to thee by my spirit those things that will bring thee life. Hallelujah. 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 Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. We welcome you, Holy Spirit of God. Lord Jesus, you have said if we preach the word, you will confirm the word with signs following. And we believe that tonight. We believe it, Lord Jesus. We believe it. Come, Holy Spirit of God. For without thine anointing, without your power, without your authority, without what you're doing, nothing can be accomplished. But we feel your presence. We know that thou art moving and dealing with the hearts of your children. Breathe on us. Breathe on us, Lord. Breathe on us. Breathe on us, Lord. My daughter, why wouldst thou fear? Perfect love will cast out all fear. And that which thou art afraid of, the unknown, I would speak to thee that thou would trust me. For I have told thee in my word, be anxious for nothing. And fear is of the enemy. And fear has held thee in bondage these many years. But this night I will set thee free from fear. But thou must have the faith of God. And as I speak and witness to your heart, I will set thee free from fear. For it is fear of the unknown, and thou shouldst not fear the unknown, for I have led thee thus far, and I will lead thee farther. But you must follow the leading of my Spirit. And I have brought thee to this place that to set thee free from that which has troubled thee and held thee in bondage. I will snap that fetter this night, and thou wilt know a releasing of fear and a generating of faith. For I lovest thee, and thou knowest that I have loved thee, for I have shown thee many times by my Spirit, and thou hast known it. But the fear of the enemy has brought thee to a place of bondage, and I will set thee free. Come to us, Holy Spirit of God. Move into our lives. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right. Say it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, dear. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Feel free to breathe in the presence of God tonight. Let God take over. Let God take over. In the name of Jesus Christ, Satan, I bind you and I bind your power. I bind the spirit of fear of the unknown. I command in the name of Jesus Christ that spirit of fear of the unknown to loose and be gone in the name of Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Loose in the name of Jesus. Loose in the name of Jesus. Loose in the name of Jesus. Come out, you spirits of fear. Loose in Jesus' name. Fear of poverty. I bind the spirit of fear of poverty in the name of Jesus. For whatsoever I bind on earth is bound in the heavenlies. Whatsoever I loose on earth is loosed in the heavenlies. I bind the spirit of fear of poverty. I bind the spirit of fear of the dark. I bind the spirit of fear of confinement. I bind that prisoner spirit in Jesus' name. Loose in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind that spirit of fear of disaster and accidents. I bind that spirit of fear of drowning in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirit of fear of heights. In Jesus' name, I command that you're loose tonight. Loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, you tormenting spirit. Come out, I said, in Jesus' name. Fear of obesity. I bind the spirit of fear of obesity. Come out, you spirit of hell. I said I bind that spirit that's afraid to eat in Jesus' name. Because of the fear of obesity, I command you to loose in Jesus' name. Come out, you spirit of famine, in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind that spirit of famine loose in Jesus' name. Loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Feel the blood, Satan. Feel the blood of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I bind your power. I bind all spirits of fear. In the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to breathe in the power of God. And if you have fear in any way, fear of man, fear of public exposure, fear of discovery, fear of punishment, fear of the devil, fear of hell, fear of God, fear of the Holy Ghost. I bind these spirits of fear and I loose tonight in Jesus' name the people of God. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. The blood of the Lord Jesus sets the people of God free from the spirits of fear. Loose in Jesus' name. Loose in Jesus' name. Spirits of frustration. Spirits of irritation, spirits of resentment, spirits of anger, spirits of violence, spirits of self-pity, depression, insanity. I come against manic depression. I come against madness. I come against lunacy. In the name of Jesus Christ, I release the people of God. Loose in the name of Jesus. Satan, I bind your power. I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. Loose the people of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind doctrines of devils. I bind seducing spirits. I bind every spirit of inheritance, physical infirmities, physical weaknesses, physical sicknesses, diabetes, you spirit of diabetes. I bind your power out in the name of Jesus Christ. Spirits of tumors, I bind in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirit of death, the spirit of cancer. I loose tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, you tormenting spirits of hell. Loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Heal the blood, Satan. Every spirit of infection, every spirit of infection, every spirit of disease. I come against the spirit of gambling. I bind the spirit of lucky numbers in Jesus' name. I bind the spirits of lucky numbers and spirits of superstition. Come out, I said, in Jesus' name. Every gambling spirit, all spirits of cravings, I command you to loose in the authority of Jesus Christ. I bind you, you spirit of cravings, loose in the name of Jesus. Come out, you spirits of craving. Come out, you addictive spirits, in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of insecurity. Come out, you spirit of rejection, fear of rejection. Come out, you spirit of rejection, insecurity, loose in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of idolatry, in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, you spirit of amulets, in Jesus' name. Loose, I said, loose in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind your power. I bind your power. I bind you, Satan. In Jesus' name, I bind you. I bind you in the authority of Jesus Christ. I command the spirit of domineering to leave. Every dictatorial and domineering spirit of hell, I come against those domineering spirits. I come against those dictatorial spirits. I bind those spirits of masculinity. I bind erotic and sensual spirits of hell, spirits of stimulation. Come out, I said, in the name of Jesus Christ. The blood of the Lord Jesus sets the people of God free. Loose tonight in Jesus' name. Loose tonight in Jesus' name. I bind that spirit of a carnal mind. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind the spirit of a carnal mind. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command that spirit of a carnal mind to loose. I said loose. Loose. I free the people of God from the spirit of word blindness. I come against the spirit of word blindness. In Jesus' name, I loose the minds of the people of God. I loose the minds of the people of God. Come out, your spirit of word blindness, in the name of Jesus Christ. Feel the blood of Jesus Christ, Satan. I loose the people of God in the authority of Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. 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 In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. How many others need deliverance? I want you to slip your hands up. If you have a need, I want you to slip your hand up. Slip it up high. All right. I want those who have had deliverance, I want you to go stand where these people's hands are raised. I want you to raise your hands. Keep them up. I want some of God's people to go and stand behind these whose hands are raised. Let's believe God. Come on.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.